This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
I tell you what, Alan.
Perk's going to join us here in a second. I have to say this real quick, Bart. Did you know the first ever National Check Your Wipers Day was November 16th? Yeah.
First ever.
I know. You didn't get me anything? Enter for a chance to win a Michelin NYC experience for two. To enter and for official rules, visit wipersday.com. No purchase necessary. Visit wipersday.com for more information. And that's a Wipers Day is something that if I told my six-year-old about it, it's a completely different conversation. Just throwing it out there.
Hey, man, listen. The more and more I hear about this pumpkin pie, man.
We got tweets on it.
The more confused I get. I get confused.
What are you confused by? All right, I'm gonna
it sounds like a lot of artificial ribbon flabbing, red dye 88, yellow 12, blue 8. It's just confusing.
Are you sure you're confused?
Is it pumpkin or is it not pumpkin?
Well, it's pumpkin and it's some squash. And you could also just get you can get canned pumpkin that you use for the pie, which you just pop it out and then just mix it in.
Why am I getting canned pumpkin? Because it is not enough for a pumpkin to make a pumpkin pie?
Do you want to start scraping out some squash and some, you know, pumpkins and then pureeing them
up?
You're going to pull out your 1500 watt ninja grinder and just
It sounds to me like it's a lot of artificial coloring and stuff because the inside of a pumpkin is not that orange. But I know my sweet potato's orange. You know what my mom make? How she make her sweet potato pie? She boil the potatoes. She take it out. She smash them through a strainer, and she takes a little vanilla extract, cinnamon, nutmeg, and that's it. Maybe a little butter. That's it. I know every ingredient that's in there. I don't have to get no squash. I ain't got to get no filler. I ain't got to get no red dye 88. I don't need to get no ribbon flabbing. I don't need all these chemicals and stuff on the back. Evaporated milk. I don't need none of that.
I want you to ask Mama Scott this. By the way, I miss her, and she still owes me a pie.
Yeah, she tried, but the delivery messed it up.
Delivery was bad. We got to work on delivery. Or we just got to take the show to Detroit.
Oh, we can do that.
You know what I'm saying?
They ain't got nothing to do.
It'd be
a national holiday. We go there. They ain't got nothing.
So I'm going to send you a sugar pumpkin, and then you can see how you actually make homemade pumpkin pie.
The hell is a sugar pumpkin? Now, which is it? Is a pumpkin a squash? Listen,
yes.
I understand it's in
the family. It is. Let's bring in Perk on this. Jeez. Kendrick Perkins joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Perk,
stay away from that ribbon flabbing, man. That red dot 88 Perk.
I can't. I'm trying to help Bart out because he will never try pumpkin pie. And I'm telling him it's a once a year kind of thing. It's not like you're having it, you know, in the summer. Like it's a once a year kind of thing on Thanksgiving. You got to try it.
But it's,
a little a la mode, a little Cool Whip.
No,
he doesn't want to touch it.
Oh no 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 no! I'm not touching it either. Look,
yeah, patty pies, baby.
The only thing that I'm eating for is a pie. Is a sweet potato pie, and that's going to come from my wife, or it's coming from Patty LaBelle.
Patty pies, baby.
I'm not going all the other kind of pies. It's sweet potato.
Yeah.
It's sweet potato, and there's nothing else, man. I cannot do pumpkin pie.
I can't even get a true answer about what the hell's in it. They keep telling me that it's yellow. They keep telling me it's yellowish on the inside. Then they say they get a can of filling. Like, hold up, man. That's ribbon flapping, red dye. That sounds like eating some stevia in there to sweeten it up. I want organic ingredients in my damn pie. I don't want a science project on my pie. I don't need to look on the periodic table to figure out what the hell element is in my stuff. No. All I know is sweet potato, nutmeg, cinnamon, and a little brown sugar. Bam, and that's my pie.
Why do we have to choose, though? You can't. I'm only having this.
I'm willing to try.
You can have more than one dessert. It's Thanksgiving.
I'm willing to try if you tell me what the hell is in it.
But here's the thing, right? If when it comes down to Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday, because, right, you give thanks, and it's all about family, but it's all about eating. And if I'm going to eat and I look forward to Thanksgiving, I'm not trying to experiment nothing. I want tradition of what I know that's going to taste good. I don't want to have to add ingredients to make something taste good. I don't want two scoops of vanilla ice cream or have to say, hey, can you go grab me some sugar or some brown sugar so I can add a little sprinkle over the top of this pie?
Or some whipped cream.
It's already in the pie. Yeah. You don't need to get any more spice. It's
in
there.
hey, Hey, Big Perk, you know what I'm happy about too? I don't know if you realize
What's
this.
That?
It is a shortage of aluminum foil. So all these little moochers that be coming over your house can't come over and steal half of the plate, and they coming over late. Because ain't no aluminum foil. So if you gonna eat here, ain't taking half of the food home with you, man. Wake up in the morning, want some ham.
We call them Thanksgiving hoppers.
Exactly.
Where they just hop around and get plates and come in and say, oh, I wanted to come spend Thanksgiving with you. And they only stay for about 45 minutes to an hour. I see right through them.
And they don't bring the red cups. They bring them little styrofoam cups that you get from when you make punch. Like, what the hell you doing, man? Them things, they was giving them out at the – they were giving them cups out at the corner.
Man, I'm already hungry now as we're having this conversation. We still got 2 days to wait. But, Perk, let me ask you about the LeBron and the Isaiah Stewart altercation and the result of it, which is a suspension, a one game for LeBron. So he won't play tonight against the Knicks at the Garden on TNT. Stewart gets 2. Did you feel like it was sufficient? Do you feel like there should have been more or less?
No, I thought it was fair. I thought it was fair across the board. And look, I understand Stewart got 2 games, and LeBron James got 1, but it's going to cost LeBron James more money. Obviously, he's making more money. Yeah. I get that, but it's still going to cost him more money. But I thought the suspensions were fair. I thought, I thought Stewart's actions is what caused him to get 2 games. You know, the way that he was trucking over coaches and doing all this and causing this big scene. And see, what people have to realize is this. When you get in trouble or you have some type of actions or altercation on the floor, like a guy like myself had throughout my years of playing, you have to call in to the principal office, okay? And the principal office is – Adam Silver or who's ever working under Adam Silver, the head of security or whoever who's handling that part of the situation or that part of the NBA. And what happens is one, you have to plead your case. 2, you have to be apologetic about it. But 3, it's about your history. So when they come down with certain consequences and certain suspensions, it's about your history and what you've done in your prime while you was playing. And so we all know LeBron James don't have a history of being a dirty player.
Right.
Now, Isaiah Stewart, in his short, year and a half run thus far, he has had a few altercations. People didn't have to bring him back. He's considered a tough guy. I wouldn't want to mess with him. He has veins popping out his ears. So when they look into these situations, they go back into the history to actually evaluate the character of each individual.
Hey, can I go deeper into the psychology of this? Because when I look at LeBron, right, and listen, he's not a dirty player. But to me, when you throw your hand back there with a closed fist, it was meant to do damage. And I don't think he meant to hit him in the eye or anything like that. But it's almost like LeBron was saying, how dare you try and rough me up and get physical with me. I'm LeBron James, almost like, man, you peasant type of thing. And I know that's not what he's saying, but that's the way I felt like if he felt like you're beneath me to be trying to put your hands on me like that.
Stop it. You just stop it. You stop it right there. First of all, look, LeBron James didn't initiate it. He didn't instigate it. We're talking about Stuart Scott, who they were somebody was shooting free throws.
Yeah.
Isaiah Stewart, he initiated the contact with LeBron James. And we all know when a guy's shooting free throws and you're in that center block area, you're supposed to be initiating contact with that big that's trying to block you out. Why is he even initiating contact with LeBron James? That's the first question you need to ask yourself. Why are you initiating contact with the guy that's on top of the block of standing on you, and you're supposed to be initiating the physicality with the guy that's trying to box you out? Okay, so he puts his arm out in LeBron James' face. So in my opinion, I thought that LeBron James' elbow was actually trying to knock down his arm, but it accidentally caught Stewart in the eye. It's part of it. Look, boy, you cannot come into this as a guy that's known for physicality, known for throwing elbows, known for mixing it up in the paint in the trenches, in which I'll call it in football talk, and not expect to catch an elbow here and there. It's part of the game. I didn't got stitched up before. It happens.
Yeah, I thought this was different because he clenched his fist. You know what I'm saying? He clenched his fist instead of smacking his arm. Listen, I'll defer to you, Kendrick. You know more about that part of it than me, right? Because I don't know about initiating with the big. I thought that, you know, they tried to box him out with two because he's so relentless on the boards that he's one of those guys that you gotta, he's one of those high effort guys that you gotta be. We all have some of those dudes. Like those Patrick Beverley's, man. He's like, man, if this dude get up on me one more time, I got something for him. You know what I'm saying? Why is he picking me up full court? Why are you all up in my space like that? Right? He comes off as one of those guys. So this won't be the last altercation that he get into something with, because, you know what I mean? Because that's the way he plays. But I just thought LeBron with the closed fist. But you said that maybe he was doing something that, you know, he wasn't supposed to do. So I defer.
Well, he was grabbing him. He was grabbing him, and it started really there. But Perkins was talking about Kendrick Perkins on the Goodyear Hotline.
LeBron didn't want that smoke. I can agree with that. He didn't want that smoke.
Well, he got out of there pretty quick. But again, you got to know
better.
I don't
think too many people want smoke without being
Burt was acting like he wanted some smoke too, way in the back, talking all that stuff, man. Like, Burt, man, shut up. And Burt gonna say, I don't believe he did that. Like, bro, I'm like, Burt, what the hell are you talking about? Wasn't you the same dude that tried to fight your own teammate on the sideline? But you ain't never seen nothing like this in all your basketball years. Like, Dwight looking like, what? Did he really say that? That ain't your line, dog. You can't say that, Burt.
But let's start. The bigger picture, though, is the fact that now LeBron misses another game for a Laker team that's 9-9. Why are they 9-9? What are you seeing out of this group that has all these stars that they're trying to make fit together, and yet they night in and night out? I mean, they were losing that game to the Pistons. No offense, Bart. I know you're from Detroit. But, man, they were losing to the Pistons. They had no right to be losing that game. They ended up winning, but still. What are you seeing that's going wrong with this Laker team that was put together in the offseason, built with stars to make one more run for a chip for LeBron?
Well, one, they wasn't playing with physicality. And two, they were just showing up to the arena because they are the show. We have to realize, although they're not the defending champions, that every game that they play is going to be under a microscope. Every game that they play, teams are going to get their rest at night and make sure that they strap up their shoes because they know they want to go out there and beat the Lakers. So with that being said, the Lakers just showing up and thinking that because of their personnel and their talent is just going to win them games, it's not. And so what we saw against the Detroit Pistons was they were down in the game. All of a sudden, the altercation happened, and you saw the Lakers team come together, and you start to see them get physical. You start to see them do the little things. You start to see them get down there in the trenches doing the little things that don't show up in the stat sheet. And that's why you saw the comeback. That's why you saw guys making second effort and third effort plays. Guys challenging shots, challenging shots with the intent, not that they're going to hope that they're going to miss, but making them miss. We saw Anthony Davis get out on the perimeter and guard Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham tried to hit him with a little move and a pull-up. AD was like, give me that. That's the AD we've been looking for. He could do that night in and night out. But why do somebody have to piss y'all off in order for y'all to elevate y'all game to another level to do the little things that don't show up in the stat sheet? And I think right then, I think honestly, this game right here is gonna help the Lakers forge their team and chemistry and mindset. And I think they're going to approach every game right now like there's a villain. And I think that's a good thing for them, especially when dealing with Russell Westbrook. Because we all know Russell Westbrook plays his best when he's pissed the hell off. Yes. And so when he plays his best when he's mad, that's great for the Lakers because you're going to get your best version of Russell Westbrook.
But I ask you this, right? Because we understand that, you know, some of these teams like the Lakers of late, you know, like the Golden State Warriors, they've been one of these teams that want to turn the light switch on and off. And when you talk about their advanced age, if they play with that type of energy, will they have enough to last the entire season, given their injury history and also their, you know, their age as a group?
Boy, I'm sorry, you cut out. What you said?
I said with given their age and given their injury history, if they come with that same type of max effort to match, you know, the effort of every team that they're playing against, if they're so much more talented than the Pistons, they should be able to beat them out without max effort, right? But if they put out max effort with their advanced age, would they have enough to finish when it comes to the playoffs?
Yes, because that's why they have a mixture of young guys too. Like, you got to think, they got Talen Horton-Tucker only been back for, what, 4 or 5 games, and we see how he's looking and what he's bringing to the table. They still haven't got Kendrick Nunn yet, who's going to be a crucial piece to their success because of the youth mixed with the veteran age. That's the same thing you're noticing about the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, yes, they got Steph Curry, they got Andre Iguodala, they got Draymond Green, but they got a mixture of young guys. And so the Lakers haven't had those young guys. And Kendrick Nunn, along with Talen Horton-Tucker, and then you add in Anthony Davis, who is still young. Like, once they all get healthy, once they get in their prime, you know, those guys, I'm depending on Talen Horton-Tucker to take a load off of all those older guys. So you won't see Melo having to play 27 to 30 minutes a night, because now Talen Horton-Tucker is going to be getting some majority of those minutes. And then now, like, look, when you look at Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis, they're not old. Both of those guys are still in their prime. And I don't want to overreact to Russ. Yes, he has been playing some disturbing basketball as far as his turnovers, his shooting. I get all that. But Russell Westbrook does this every single year. He starts off the season really, really slow. And around January, February, he picks it up. And next thing you know, we start mentioning the man in the MVP conversation.
Let's not forget how he finished last season with the Wizards, brought them all the way into the play-in. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Perk, thanks so much. It's always great to catch up with you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, Perk, you got one of those Kuzma sweaters for Christmas?
Kuzma.
Those what?
You got one of those Kuzma sweaters?
Kuzma sweater.
That's not a sweater. That's a throw rug.
All the best, Perk. Thanks so much.
He wrong for that, man. He know he wrong for that. I appreciate y'all having me on. He know he out of line for that one. I don't know what he was thinking about.
Looking like the son from Black-ish.
Oh, man. Perk's always the best. Hey, it's Barton Hahn. We're coming to you. We broadcast live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I wanted to get a couple of people's takes on the LeBron story. So let's first go to Dre in Hartford. Go ahead, Dre.
Yeah, just real quickly. Now, Bart, you know damn well you ate some McDonald's and you don't know what is in the ingredients in that.
Thank
but
you.
Ate
No. I stopped eating it. I stopped eating McDonald's,
man.
I don't eat McDonald's no more. I get never frozen burgers from
Dre.
Wendy's,
let
man.
Him know, Dre, because I've seen him come away and all of a sudden he comes back with snacks
now,
in his hand. I'm like, are you reading what's in that?
A delicious pie. You want to shoot it down. Now you turn it into a scientist.
Now I need to know what's in the pumpkin.
What I'm saying is that I got the equivalent or the superior in pumpkin in sweet potato pie, the pumpkin pie. So why even mess with it? I got them patty pies, baby.
Patty LaBelle always. Yeah.
But truth be told, pecan pie is way better than all of them anyway. You know what I'm saying?
That's two for pecan pie.
Yeah. But yeah, I digress. Now the whole and then just quickly on Baker, you can tell he needs somebody in his corner. Like, he hasn't had that experience. He didn't learn from college when he was doing the gestures to the crowd.
Yep.
And it was like doing this thing to the crowd. He should have learned from then. Now he's going with the crowd. The crowd, this is football. This is national sports. Whatever sport you play, the crowd is – you could be playing good. You still go – the crowd still boo you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to get in your head. They want the opposing team wants to stop you.
You got
to
know. You got to know where you, this is all going to be part of the. It's part of the life, and you just got to know that sometimes, even though you want to say something, you know you got to put on a front publicly because it's the only way to win that battle. There's no other way to win the battle. That's the only way to win that battle, man. That's basically it. Yeah. All right, well, Dre, we appreciate the call.
You're losing to the Lions. What the hell you expect?
Right, exactly. Now, I thought Dre was going to get into the LeBron stuff. We didn't get to that. But we do have the calls. We will get to them. I know Tessa, our good friend Tessa from New Jersey, she really wants to sound off on the Giants, so we're going to save time for her.
She misses LeBron. She loves some LeBrick, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's true, too. So we got to save time for her at some point in this hour. But coming up, Bart, as you just heard Dre talk about, this is where the beginning of the end happens with certain players and also, you know, this coaches, too. When you start taking on the fans and the media, and the last thing that you want to have, if you're Baker Mayfield and the Browns, is to realize, like, this is the beginning of the end. So we'll get to that coming up in Audio Files. But first, I want to tell you to join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gautam's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Well done, boys. Well done. Devin and Cam back in the control room. As we do have, Bart Scott, breaking news here just moments ago. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. I'm going to tell you that breaking news here in just 1 second. We want you to sign up with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, and use code, what code, Bart?
Bart.
Yes, B-A-R-T. B-A-R-T. Yes. To get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, we made you wait long enough. So, the Giants have just made it official moments ago. Jason Garrett has been relieved of his duties as offensive coordinator. As we opened the show, and you heard from Joe Judge after last night's embarrassing loss on Monday Night Football, where the offense was once again anemic, 10 points, that's it. And Joe Judge was visibly frustrated on the sideline. He was also, after the game, pretty pointed in his comments about the offense. Let's first hear Joe Judge on the offense's struggles from last night.
We got to do a better job scoring points. I know it sounds pretty obvious and to the point with it, but I'm going to keep it just very blunt on that right there. We got to do a better job putting our players in position to make plays. We have too many good players. You know, we got to put them in a better position to capitalize on it. That's it. We got to make sure, you know, we sit down tomorrow as a coaching staff and understand how we got to play this game and give our players a chance to make plays. So in reference to any kind of body language or anything at the end of the game, I'll handle the corrections we got to make. All right. But as a player, there's some things I'd be frustrated too with as well.
Some things I'd be frustrated about too, Bart. Him saying that, he's talking to?
Yeah, some things I'd be frustrated too. But how about the players probably frustrated with you and your program?
Well, right,
so what are you talking about? You want to, hey, listen, this man, since he's been here, has done nothing but deflect the blame on everybody else other than taking accountability himself. We got to score points. Okay, well, what are you doing to help us score points, head coach? You know, what
but
are
did
you
he
doing?
Choose? What about what? Did he choose Garrett as his offensive coordinator?
Everybody else that he brought in there, he chose. How'd that defense look yesterday? I mean, anytime you hear
how'd the defense look last year, though.
No, anytime you hear the announcer saying, "Well, hey, you know, they gotta kind of get out of this cover three thing," like, you can't tell Tom Brady that this is what you're in and stay in it. Like, you might want to try something else. So why are you talking about scoring points? You know, you got to put more points on. How about
right,
the defense?
Let's stay on the news. Let's just stay on the news here for a minute, all right? Let's stay on the news before we get into all the other troubles with the Giants. This offense was 31st in the league in scoring and yards last season with Jason Garrett. And then this year, so far, they're 23rd in yards and 25th in scoring. So they have not – or you could say, hey, they got better. Now, I know they've had injuries and everything else, but still – the offense has been a major issue, and you have a young quarterback you're trying to figure out if he's your future or not. So they are. You're right. The first one to go is the first guy getting blamed, and that is the offense. That is Jason Garrett. Joe Judge was also asked last night after this game because of his frustrated body language that you saw on the sideline and his pointed remarks about the offense needing to be better. So he was asked straight up, will Jason Garrett remain your offensive coordinator?
You have still have faith.
I have faith in all the people on our team, players, coach, everything. But, you know, look, we'll assess everything as a team, make any move we need to going forward. I'm not going to go into that right now.
So that he had to know it was coming.
That's because he knows he's another Patriot assistant that's going to have a short stint as a head coach if he don't change this thing around immediately.
You're really going after him more than you are Garrett.
Because it's his program. Right, and we said that tough Joe or whatever they call him is wearing thin real fast when you talk all this stuff and you run a program a certain way and you lose. And listen, he comes with that old Bill Belichick tough guy stuff, conditioning and stuff, all that type of stuff after practice and run that program. Where have we ever seen this program win outside of New England? We haven't, right? So like, you know, people got to be their own person, and I'm not saying he's not. But all I'm saying is he has more coaches on the coaching staff than any other team in the NFL. He fired and hired a lot of people this offseason. And all of a sudden you put all the blame. Who's the pass game coordinator for them? Who's the other person? Like, what's the other offensive staff? Are they getting let go or relieved of their duties too? Nope. But you listen, understand the psychology. I know that if we keep losing like this, Dave Gettleman may be gone. If Dave Gettleman is gone, then it's potential that I'm going to be gone too. I'm going to be 30, I don't know how old he is, 37, 38 years old, and I'm going to get fired just like Gettleman. So let's find somebody to blame, and the easiest target to blame is Jason Garrett. He's the easiest person to blame.
You know who's their senior offensive assistant?
Who?
Freddie Kitchens.
Oh, good luck. Good luck with that. Good luck. Oh, here we go. We're really going to ball out now. So.
Well, I mean, you know, you're looking at staff.
But let me tell you something, right? I've been around this game for a long time.
Yep.
I guarantee you Freddie Kitchens was in that ear. I would be doing this. I would be doing that. I would be doing this. And so Joe Judge, I wouldn't be surprised if Freddie Kitchens does get it, right? And we'll see what happens with that. You know, Freddie Kitchens was the head coach as well. So they got three head coaches on the offensive side of the ball or two offensive coaches on the side of the ball, and they couldn't figure it out. So Freddie Kitchens is going to save the day. Is nobody coming in to save the day?
I'm not saying he's taking over. I'm just telling you that if you're looking for a name of somebody that has
he could take over, right? He was a head coach. He had a decent offense, you know, with Nick Chubb and all those guys when he was there with Philip Dorsey. We'll see. We'll see what happens and where this team goes forward. But I always laugh when people start pointing. They talk this team guy, we in the foxhole together, and they start pointing them fingers, never pointing that thumb. Because I'm asking you, like, this is your squad, this is your team. 2 years in the game, same result. Blame now you blame it on him. You're running out of people to blame. Running out of people to blame.
Well, this is a perfect time for us to bring in a good friend of ours who we love to hear from when it comes to talking about the Giants. She listens to the show regularly, very passionate Giant fan. And if there's ever a time to hear from Giants fans, it's right now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the Giants. What's up next? The Eagles, I believe, right? So let's go now to Tessa in New Jersey. Tessa, how are you feeling now that you know that at least Jason Garrett, they've made one move and they've removed the offensive coordinator?
I have a Band-Aid on, but I'm still oozing out. I'm still oozing out with disgust. But a Band-Aid is on now, but I do agree with Bart. Because at the end of the day, this is still Joe Judge's team. You pointing one finger, but bro, you got three pointing back at you. You got three pointing back at you. But you know I can't stand that bum Jason Garrett. I never could stand him. I always felt like he was like beyond vanilla. He was invisible. Like, I don't know what he's doing. So I'm very happy about that. However, Bart is right. Timmy Tough Nuts, that's what they was calling Joe Judge.
Yeah.
I'm over that. Like, I am over him. I'm over every time he speaks at the podium, I feel like throwing my phone at the screen. We have too many decent, good weapons to be this terrible. We are bum, dirty, trash, hot garbage. I'm sick of it. It's like, I'm like, I can't get any madder, Tessa. You can't get any madder. Each week I get madder, and I'm sick of it. Allen, you right. Lewis Redick needed to get in the building. I wanted to hire him before they hired Dave Gettleman. Forget letting him retire. Fire Dave Gettleman. He don't deserve respect like that. I don't care if he's old. Fire him. You know what I'm saying? And Daniel Jones, I just feel like, even though I've never been a fan of the pick, his offense is so terrible. How could we really see what he's about? It's almost like almost some Sam Darnold thing, all the stuff he went through. How could you really see what he about? Now you see what he about in Carolina. But I'm just saying, we really can't see what he about until he really could get good offensive plays, good offensive line. Like, we can't see what this man is about. Yes, he makes crazy decisions sometimes, and you want to bash your head against the wall. But to be fair, I mean, he threw, what, two passes to Galloway yesterday. Tony looked like he just was ready to just blow around the field. Nobody can get him the ball. Like, this is terrible. We have more offensive power than most of the teams out here that's blowing us out. It's disgusting. Like, it's disgusting. Like, I'm tired. Listen, I'm telling you right now, Gettleman got to go. I want everybody gone, except, I'm going to be honest with you, I can't really stand Joe Judge, but I'm willing to give him one more season if the GM is okay with that, the new GM. But I want everybody gone because it's everybody. Special teams is terrible. Everybody's terrible. I'm tired of these penalties. I'm sick of it. Joe Judge, what are you doing, though? Like, what are you doing besides trying to be tough and now all of a sudden yesterday you want to point fingers? No, you need to go in the hot seat. You need to go to the principal's office. You need to get suspended. And speaking of that, Bart, I'm going to get at you another day about LeBron with this suspension. I'm telling you right now, you're talking a lot of tough stuff right now. Well, but you know right now about my guys, but I'm going to get at you. Well, and, oh, by the way, Allen, trash with pumpkin pie. Trash. It's all about sweet potato pie, like Bart said. Pumpkin pie is trash. And you know what? Bart is right. Who wants that? Like, who wants that? Ew. I carve pumpkins with my daughter. Like, that's gross. Who wants that? Nobody wants that. Allen, nobody wants anything that can come out of a can that you want to put inside of a pie.
If I make it for you, you'd like it. Trust me. If I made it for you, you would definitely like it.
Bart said you got to add mad stuff with it. Sweet potato pie is sweet potatoes are good by themselves. If you get the right one, you bake it, split that little bad boy. It's healthy. It's very edible. It tastes so good. It tastes so good. But, Allen, pumpkin pie, what are we doing with that? We going to split the pumpkin, take it, and put it in the oven with all them seeds? I eat pumpkin seeds.
Pumpkin seeds are very healthy. Yeah, pumpkin seeds are very healthy for you. Very healthy for you.
But I don't want to get off track, though, Tess, because of the many calls that we've had with you over the years. I mean it. That was one of your best, because not only was your passion there, but your, like, that to me is the voice the Giants organization should be listening to right now, because there's so much apathy around your franchise.
Step out your comfort box. I'm tired of this. Hire Lewis Redick. Step out the comfort box. Even with Daniel Jones, I felt like he's too much. They wanted him to be like Eli. It's only one Eli. Knock it off. Get a little fast pocket rusher quarterback like Kyler Murphy. Get somebody else. Somebody different. You know what I mean? Like, I'm tired of looking at Daniel Jones because he's not Eli. So that's why I can't stand him, because you're not Eli or whatever like that. But you remind me of him, but you're not him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not him. So they need to step out the comfort zone and knock it off. We're a flagship organization, and right now we're looking like dirty, hot, stinky, stale trash. I'm tired of it. I have a headache. I'm telling you, I need to be a spokesperson for Tums, because that's all I feel like I pop is Tums. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tylenol rapid release, because I have headaches all the time. I need to be a spokesperson for them, because the Giants make me feel like that.
Tessa, would you like Kellen Moore as your head coach and bring that offense from Dallas over here to Danny Dimes and Galladay and Saquon?
You want to know who I want? You know who I want? I freaking want Brian Leftwich. That's who I want. I'm looking at him calling play. Like, what is going on? Like, I mean, like, they don't really have AB hurt. Yeah, they got Evans, but what really super offensive weapons do they have? But they just keep going down the field on
people. They have Tom Brady.
Or I want Eric Benigni. I'll take Eric Benigni from Kansas City Chiefs. What's up with it? Nobody wanted to hire him last year. What's up? Let's get him. Let's start.
You got to start. You know what, Tess? And we got to run here. It's great to hear from you, and have a great Thanksgiving. You know we love you.
Love you guys.
All right. LeBron didn't want no smoke. Well. LeBron didn't want no smoke.
Don't do that when she's walking out. Like, we got to see. She'll come back with you next week. But no, that's a great question. But I do think it's got to start at the top, and that is now something that's going to have to be assessed. And if you're Joe Judge, you make this move. Just understand now, the crosshairs are now officially on you. Like, he was the first target. All the fans were frustrated with the offense, and they were looking at Jason Garrett. But for the rest of the season, just understand, everyone now, all of it is going to be on you, Joe Judge, for the rest of the season. And if you are Steve Tisch, if you are John Mara, you better watch this closely, because Tess showed you emotion and fire, but that's who she is. The problem is, I'm wondering if Giants fans right now are one of Bart's favorite sayings. Meh. I wonder if they have gotten that apathetic about this franchise because of how it's operated over the last 6 seasons. All right, coming up, we've got your calls on this. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. ESPN Plus. We will get into, again, back into the Giants conversation, and they move on from Jason Garrett. But Bart, you know, in the meantime, did you see Dancing with the Stars last night, ABC? They had the finals last night, and yet another athlete comes away with the trophy. This time, former Knick, first-round pick, former Cavalier as well, Iman Shumpert.
I call him Tiana Taylor's husband. Well, but she like, that you know, is true. So she probably was practicing with him at home because she's a tremendous dancer and choreographer. Yep. I tell you what, you know, you look at it, right? And I think he was going against some Peloton dude because I saw somebody say,
Cody Rigsby, also JoJo Siwa,
But you know what? It just proves once again, just, you know, athletes are superior, right? You know,
footwork, hand eye foot court, that, right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And listen, he doing all this at 6'12". You know what I'm saying? All these other people, it's easy to be dancing and throwing people around, spinning around when you've 5'7". He's 6'12". He threw her up one time, almost hit the ceiling. You know what I mean? He had to squat down. You know what I mean? But, you know, you talk about it, man. Now I want to see the dancing of the stars.
I was going to say to you, should you do an athlete
the best
version?
Of. Yes.
Hines Ward.
I'm taking Emmitt, baby.
Emmitt Smith.
I'm taking Emmitt, baby.
Laurie Hernandez. You've had champions here, and now Shumpert. Yeah, that's got to be like the next, like the spinoff show.
Yeah, it's like the worldwide of sports. Like when we no baseball players ever
battle
did.
Battle of the network star. Well, I mean, it has to be a sport where there is great athleticism and footwork. And basketball and football are probably the two biggest when it comes to footwork and that ability to, you know, you have that little bounce. Speaking of bounce.
We got to get an icer in it.
I'm going to send you, if you didn't see the performance, I know you had a lot going on last night with the charity work, but they danced to Lose Control, you know, Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
I mean, like you
that's,
watch
that's energy.
Day,
that's energy right
oh
there.
Oh, my God. It was, no.
Music make you look at the complete.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Fat Man Scoop over there, too. I'm friends
that
with
is,
Fat Man
that
Scoop.
That is Fat Man Scoop. You're right. A little Sierra in there as well. But the dance was great. Like, you talk about energy. It was off the charts. But it's got to be something about athletes, right? Like, are you a good dancer?
I'm solid. I'm not good.
Solid. Yeah. But, like, if it wasn't for sports, would you be good?
Yeah. If I
like,
wanted
you're better
if I,
because of sports.
If,
right?
No, if I had to go and, like, dance and we were doing moves, I would learn my routines. Yeah.
So his wife and then obviously working with Daniela. She was, you know, a professional. So you practice it, you know. Like, you probably would say that to yourself, right? Well, if I practiced it,
yeah,
I'd get good at it.
And it's swag, yeah. It's swag, it's attitude. Swag. You know what I'm saying? He bringing the hood with him. He bringing that hip-hop type of flow, that attitude, you know what I mean? You know,
and he
you
didn't know, just do all that now. Remember, like, he has
no,
done,
no, 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 I'm saying.
He had
I
to
know
do
the
all traditional dances, too.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Freestyle
no, I know
last night was great.
But he does everything with that, like, that swagger, you know what I'm saying? That hip hop, that swag, you know what I mean? That culture, you know what I mean? Like, I can imagine, like, I wish they had, like, a, you know how, like, you just grow up with soul, like, you know, being in the household, listen to Patti LaBelle, dance with your mama. That's how we do. We grow up, dance with our mama and stuff like that. Mom make you dance for a friend, stuff like that. So I wonder, like, you know, if you think about some other, like, cultures that really love dancing, like they had a boxer or something that was Hispanic, man. He came
another
in there. He's been doing salsa his whole life. You know what I mean? So he going to put some old flavor in. He going to teach the dancer how to do the dance. My mama did this one. We used to do this one back in the day.
Well, he's
Maria,
an NBA champ,
Maria.
And now he is a Dancing with the Stars champ. And Bart Scott's going to be in the next season. I'm going to get you on that show, Bart. I think it would be amazing. Can't wait.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.